Congratulations to Hope Bible Presbyterian Church on this occasion of her 37th anniversary Thanksgiving. I was thinking back to the very first worship service back in 1986. At that time, there were 7 adults and 7 children, a total of 14 people meeting together in the home of Mr. and Mrs. Wesley Irvine. And today, the choir had 14 people plus a choir director. So the choir alone had more people than we had for the very first worship service of Hope Church. And of course, the musical ensemble had many more people than that. So you can see how Hope Church has grown in these past 37 years. And you can tell from the help that I needed to get up here and even sitting down to speak that I've grown 37 years older also. And so have you, of course. But we thank God for what He has done. Today is a time of thanksgiving as we thank God for the way He has blessed Hope Church during these 37 years. But it's also a time where we can look forward. And there is a time when we should look inward as well. My text is 1 Corinthians 15, 57 and 58, which was read, but I think I'll read it again. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, based on these two verses, there are 4 questions I would like to ask you on this anniversary Sunday. The first question is, are you victorious? In verse 57, you read, thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. In this verse of the Bible, the Apostle Paul is thanking the Lord for giving us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Having the victory through Jesus Christ means that we're able to live above our difficulties. We'll be able to live above our disappointments. We're able to live above our discouragements. Let's face it. As Christians, we still have problems. We still get sick. We still have difficulties at work or in our studies. The problems will not disappear. But God wants to teach us that we can live above our problems through the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul prayed 3 times for God to remove what he called a thorn in the flesh. But God told him that he would not remove it. No is also an answer to prayer. We may not always like it, but it is an answer to prayer. But God told Paul that his grace would be sufficient. In other words, God is saying he's going to teach you how to live above the problems. I was talking a number of years ago to a Bible Presbyterian minister in the United States. He also had a pilot's license. And he mentioned that in a small plane, you're flying along. If you see bad clouds ahead, looks like it's going to be bad weather, he says he goes higher in the plane. So as he climbs to a higher altitude, he flies above the storm. So he goes above the problems. That reminds us of Psalm 34, verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Think of Job in the Bible. I'm not going to recall the whole incident and everything that happened to Job, but just to point out that God allowed Satan to take away Job's flocks and also Job's children. What was Job's reaction? He arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped. And he said, naked came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return hither. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then the comment, in all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. That is Job, the end of chapter 1 and the beginning of chapter 2. So it is good that we remember this. And let us, as hopefuls, to be victorious. Live by God's grace. Live by God's word. Live with God's help. For without him, we can do nothing. Now, not only are we to be victorious, we should also ask, are you steadfast? As Christians, we want the Lord to be able to use us. But God has never been able to use anyone who was not steadfast. So what exactly is steadfast? I looked it up in the dictionary. And one of the meanings is always remaining faithful to one's religious beliefs. Let me repeat. Always remaining faithful to one's religious beliefs. Looking back in church history, the time when the church has been most successful was when God had steadfast Christians who never wavered. It was the church father Tertullian who said, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. How true. He observed. And today we can look back. We see the many who were tortured for Christ. Many who were killed because of their faith in Jesus Christ. But they were steadfast. They rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. As we read in the book of Acts about the early disciples. And throughout history, believers gave their life for the Lord Jesus Christ, singing praises to God as they were being killed. And people observed, how can these people be so happy? They're being killed. But they were so happy because they knew that they had been saved. They knew that they would go to heaven to be with the Lord Jesus Christ forevermore. No wonder that through the death of many of these early martyrs, people believed and the church grew and was strong. Thank God, we are to be steadfast. But in what ways are we to be steadfast? So first of all, we are to be steadfast in our walk. Now, many people walk in the path of righteousness and holiness one day, and in the path of sin the next. You know, when you see them on Sunday in church, they're most holy. But then, when comes Monday and they go to work, they cheat, they lie, they act like the devil. Aren't you glad that the Lord is not like that? He does not love us one day and the next day does not care a thing about us. One of the things we all appreciate about the Lord is His steadfastness. We read in Lamentations chapter 3, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. See, God is deep steadfast, and He wants us to be steadfast in our daily walk. Or, to use a few different words, God is dependable, and He wants us, you and me, to be dependable in our daily life. So we are to be steadfast in our daily walk. We are to be steadfast in our daily lives. Not only are we to be steadfast in our walk, we should also be steadfast in our worship. The characteristic of steadfastness is certainly one element that is missing in our society today. Marriages break up because of a lack of faithfulness. Friendships end in bitterness because of a lack of faithfulness. Churches suffer because of a lack of steadfastness. Now, I'm not mentioning here or referring to either Hope Church or Providence. I'm just mentioning this as a general principle. But it's true. Churches suffer because of a lack of steadfastness. Loyalty to God. Remaining faithful to one's religious beliefs. Because many of churches today are no longer faithful to their religious beliefs. So, we are to be steadfast in worship. And one way by doing that is to be in church faithfully every week and on time, unless providentially hindered. You know, if you're a patient in the hospital, we don't expect you to be here. And if you tested positive for coronavirus, please do not come to church. But otherwise, we expect you to be here and expect you to be on time. We're also to be steadfast in extending God's church. We are to go out and bring others in. In Luke chapter 14, verse 23, we read, "And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel," that is, urge them to come in, "that thy house may be filled." Let me ask you, are you going out and inviting people to come to the house of God? Or do you come to church, sit down, and think that that is all you have to do? there's more to life than that. We should also be steadfast in defending God's church. The devil is always attacking the church. The devil doesn't like the faithful preaching and teaching of God's holy word. The devil doesn't like it when people come to church wanting to win their loved ones and friends to Christ. You know, one of these little sayings, a billboard, "I hate this church," signed Satan. Would he say that about our church? Would he say that about Hope Church? Because the members of the congregation are zealous, doing their best in extending and defending the church. That's what we are to do. We are to be dependable, steadfast in our daily lives. Not only are we to be victorious and steadfast, we should also ask, are you unmovable? Remember, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable. In the context, this word unmovable means do not let anything or anyone shake your faith. Consider 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and now verse 12. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Kind of a conflict there. See, there were some people there who were preaching that there was no resurrection. And there were some who were fooled by this false teaching. In our day, there are many false teachers preaching heresy. You'll see them on TV. You may hear them over the radio. You can see them on the internet, like YouTube. You know, you have to be very discerning when you watch Christian, in quotation marks, TV programs. Or when you see a preacher on the internet, you're watching YouTube. I'm going to do some research here. Wow, this guy is handsome. He must be telling the truth. But is he? You know, and even in local churches, many people are being deceived because they are not unmovable. Over the years, many people have set dates for when the Lord Jesus Christ would come again. Now, this is something that I was personally, in a sense, involved in. To mention two incidents. One was one of my Korean students said, you know, this Korean pastor said Christ is coming back such and such a time. I don't even remember the time. And I said, well, let's wait and see. And the date came and went. And we know that Christ did not come on that day. He was a false teacher. I understand he was arrested by the Korean authorities because he was investing his money in a one-year term deposit. Well, if Christ was coming back, why do you think he's coming back 1 year from now so you can get your money? So he went to jail. There was another man that I heard about in the U.S. Now, in 1998, we left Adelaide to go to the U.S. to take on a position at the Independent Board for Presbyterian Foreign Missions in their office in Philadelphia. Well, we hadn't been in the Philadelphia area for many years, so we were no longer familiar with what Christian activities there were, church we knew, but not as far as radio or so is concerned. So playing around on the car radio. I said, listen, there's some music. There's hymns. And really, really enjoyed listening to the hymns on that station. So I kept my car radio set to that station. But then they had a man speaking. And I listened and I said, turn it off. Turn it off. Because we knew that it wasn't according to the Word of God. The music was fine, but the speaker was not. I found out his name was Harold Camping. And he was actually president of Family Radio Christian Network. And one of the problems was he claimed that the Lord Jesus Christ would return on the 21st of May in 2011. Well, you know it didn't happen. So when it didn't happen, Camping revised his calculation. And he set a new date, the 21st of October in 2011. Well, again, it didn't happen. And in March 2012, Harold Camping acknowledged that he had been mistaken and that the attempt to predict a date, he said, was sinful. Now, he died in 2013. I think his false setting dates probably had something to do with his dying. But you know, you got to be careful. Read what God says in His holy word. And then do what God says. And plant your feet. And be unmovable. What God says is right. And what God says is wrong, is wrong. And I don't care what the Australian government says. God created man in His own image. Male and female created He them. Marriage, one man, one woman, not two men. What God says is wrong, is wrong. Not two women. What God says is wrong, is wrong. So you got to be careful. What God says is right, that's it. What God says is wrong, that's it. Now, a good example of that being unmovable would be in the life of Daniel. Now, Daniel, as you read the book of Daniel, in Daniel chapter 6, Daniel is reigned to high office by King Darius. Now, Daniel's jealous rivals trick King Darius into issuing a decree that for 30 days, no prayer should be addressed to any god or man except to Darius himself. And anyone who disobeyed that edict is to be thrown into the den of lions. I'm not going to recount the whole thing, but I'll just show Daniel's reaction in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Like the rock of Gibraltar, Daniel could not be moved. He prayed like he always did, even when he knew the consequences, being thrown into the den of lions. What an example for us to follow. Be unmovable in your faith. Not only are we to be victorious, steadfast, and unmovable, we should also ask, are you busy in the Lord's work? The word abounding, as it is used here, always abounding in the work of the Lord. The word abounding means literally to exist in large numbers. And several of the Bible verses that I looked at, they have put it down as be busy in the Lord's work. Be abounding. Exist in large numbers. So do it really. But many people are not willing to I got my tongue all tangled up. The word abounding means literally exist in large number, and many people are not willing to listen to the Lord. But one of the things the Bible teaches us, that we should be busy serving him. You know, the church in Thessalonica had that problem. The people there had stopped working. Because the Lord is coming back. So why bother? Which reminds me of the year 1000. In Europe, many people thought that the Lord Jesus Christ was coming back in the year 1000. And farmers stopped planting crops. Why should I plant crops when Jesus is coming back anyway? And it resulted in a great famine in Europe. Because people did not take the word of God seriously, and they were not busy. But Warren Wiersbe, he died about 4 years ago. He was the former pastor of the Moody Church in Chicago. And he said it this way. They, the people of Thessalonica, they had time on their hands and gossip on their lips. But they defended themselves by saying, the Lord is coming soon. Well, Paul warned the believers in Thessalonica. In 2 Thessalonians, he said this, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. So, be busy. Do your work. And so we should now be concerned about being busy in the Lord's work. There are many things to be done in the church, and we need you to help with that. You can help with setting everything up before the worship service, whatever needs to be done. You can help with setting up the tables and chairs for fellowship and refreshments after the worship service. You can help to clean the fellowship hall after refreshment time or after fellowship lunch like today. I can mention more ways in which you can help, but I think you get the idea. You know, musicians, AV, that needs to be done. There's a lot of little things that you can help with. So you get the general idea. There are things that you can do. Just talk to one of the elders or deacons. And I'm sure they can find a place where you can serve. By the way, let me express my deepest appreciation to those who are already doing that. Thank you. And may God bless you for what you are doing for him. Now, adding to volunteering in the church, I have another question. Have you ever thought of serving the Lord full time? Hope Church is praying for the Lord to provide a pastor. And Hope Church is not the only church. Ebenezer BP Church in Melbourne does not have a pastor. Covenant BP Church in Perth does not have a pastor. 2 weeks from today, Lord willing, my wife and I will be in Perth to help Covenant BP Church. But they're praying for a pastor. Students. I know we've got some students here. Are you willing to change the course of your studies and go to Bible college? Never thought about that possibility, have you? I think of Reverend Charles Seat. He was halfway through medical studies. He was not failing, by the way. He was doing well. But when God called him, he left his medical studies, went to Bible college. When he finished Bible college, he went to the Philippines as a missionary. And today, he is the pastor of Life Bible Presbyterian Church in Singapore. He took God's call seriously. Now, some of you may say, I'm not a student. I'm working already. Well, would you be willing to take an early retirement to serve the Lord? I think, as one example, Elder Kupeng Yit, again, he was of Life Bible Presbyterian Church in Singapore. He was senior nursing tutor in Singapore. And there are still many nurses around who say, yeah, I remember him. He was one of my teachers. But he took an early retirement. He helped to pastor churches, Melbourne, London, other places. He had gone to Bible college to take some courses there. And he served the Lord. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. And so many of us are reaching retirement age or are well into our retirement age. But what does Jesus say? The laborers are few. Pray, therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. I'm praying that God would call some of you here to serve him full time. I learned a little chorus from one of my students. This is more than 40 years ago. And I understand in the meantime, this former student who became a pastor, pastored a large church in Singapore, Zion BP Church. But he taught me a little chorus that I at that point had never heard before. Some of you may have heard it, I don't know. It is in Then Sings My Soul. But let me give you the words of that little chorus. I've never been sorry. I heeded God's call. I've never been sorry. I yielded my all. My walk with the Master grows sweeter each day. I've never been sorry. One step of the way. I was ordained more than 50 years ago. And I can vouch to the truth of that little chorus. I've never been sorry. I heeded God's call. I was in uni, studying chemistry. But I switched majors. From chemistry, I changed to Bible. And I've never been sorry that I yielded my all. my walk with the Master grows sweeter each day. I've never been sorry one step of the way. And if you heed God's call, you will never be sorry one step of the way. And so there are four questions that we should answer on this 37th anniversary of Hope Bible Presbyterian Church. Are you victorious? Are you steadfast? Are you unmovable? And are you busy in the work of the Lord? Note that the Apostle Paul called the recipients of 1 Corinthians, my beloved brethren. Therefore, my beloved brethren, in verse 58. In other words, they were fellow believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. They had realized they were sinners. They had confessed their sins to God. They had asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save them. You and I need to realize that we are sinners too. We need to confess our sins to God, and we need to ask Him to save us. Many, if not most of us here, have already done that and are assured of eternal life. But there may be some here who have not yet done that. I plead with you, in the words of Acts 16, verse 31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Trust Christ. He will save you. And note finally, the promise in verse 38. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. God, who knows our hearts, who sees everything we do, will reward us if we faithfully serve Him. The Lord said to His faithful servant, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. That's in Matthew 25. It is my prayer that all of us will hear these words of the Savior when we stand before Him after our death, or after we go up to meet Him following the rapture. Remember, He loved us, and He shed His precious blood for us on Calvary's cross. And remember, too, the words of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Let all hopefuls then think and help us. God help us to be victorious. God help us to be steadfast. God help us to be unmovable. And God help us to be busy in the work of the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we consider that question, what kind of hopeful are you? May we be victorious, steadfast, unmovable, and busy in God's work. And Lord, that is my prayer, that you would touch hearts and lives today. If there be anyone here today who has not yet come to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that today they may believe on Him whom to know right is life eternal. And Father, I pray also that you might touch one, or maybe even more, who would be willing to to serve you full time. Either a student or a man working already who is willing to take an early retirement and to say, Lord, here am I. Send me. Oh Lord, touch our hearts and provide workers for the harvest field. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.